Welcome back. Yeah, we broadcast out of Los Angeles, California, and I just want everybody to know that this country is going a little nuts tonight. I hope that all of you are safe. I want you to be smart. I do know that just a few miles away from us, just south of our studios here, the city is a little crazy right now here in Los Angeles, and we just have a hill in between us and what is going on over there. But we are safe, and I hope you are too. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Johnny Enoch. When we come back after this quick break, it's your phone calls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM, Saturday night. We just passed 11 on the clock. It's my favorite moment every night that I host Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Johnny Enoch, and we're going to get to phone calls in a second. We are talking about the UFO incident that is ongoing down in Magé, Brazil. And we went through the timeline of everything that started off with the radar systems picking up something April 20th and 21st, and then May 1st, May 12th, May 13th, 14th, and then, of course, all of the videos that surfaced on the internet on May 15th. I got my email with video in it on the morning of May 16th. Now, one thing to note that I brought up earlier in the broadcast, every major news story that has overtaken the world over the last 2 weeks has been buried. It's been overtaken by the next news story. And Magé, Brazil is a victim of all of this crazy news. The story broke, it was covered, and then was disappeared. It's a very interesting situation that we find ourselves in. And Johnny, when the UFO smoke clears over the next months and years, we'll look back at Magé as one of those stories that somebody didn't want out there. And I think that's where we are at with it, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, do you remember when Dr. Stephen Greer rolled out the Disclosure Project with the National Press Club? We had this big rollout. Everybody was very excited. Cliff Stone came out there talking about these 57 types of species. Absolutely mind-blowing information that they're giving out. And then, boom, right after that event, what do we get? 9/11, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that the National Press Club, how should I say this? Disclosure events should have caught the attention of the mainstream media, and I'm going to say the disinterest by the media at that time was profound. Would they do the same thing today? Well, the answer is yes. Look at Magé. You know, the other stuff that has been covered over the last couple of years has been welcomed by the UFO community. And then we have something like Magé that is right there. And for some reason, nobody wants the story out. I'm ready to get to some phone calls. Are you ready?
I am ready, Jimmy. But something that you've been pointing out for weeks and weeks now is that look at also those Pentagon videos. I mean, that stuff has just been completely ignored.
Yes, and that's a really good point, Johnny, because the coverage by the media has been pretty extensive, and it's been great. It has. It's been great. Mm-hmm. And then when the official release comes out by the Pentagon, it's covered in the media, but the public chose not to have any interest in it. And that is something that I think we all need to take note of. Is it because there's just too much of it and the drip, drip, drip has taken its toll and now the public has just completely lost interest in the UFO subject, right? Is that where we are at? Has the campaign been that effective?
Well, yeah, it most certainly seems like anytime these come out, I mean, there's just one shocking thing after the other and this incredible cyclic change of transformation we're going through.
Now, one of the things that I really enjoy about Coast to Coast AM, Johnny, is Our audience is great and it's extensive, but it's the truckers out there that are driving across the United States and locally that make sure that our logistics are taken care of, but they are out there listening every night. So let's go to JT, who's trucking right now in Indianapolis. JT, welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Say hi to Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, JT. Thank you for all the hard work you guys are doing out there to keep everyone stocked up and doing well.
Yeah, JT wants to make sure. Yeah, JT wants to make sure that everybody knows he's actually in a truck by blasting that horn. JT, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, just in replying to Johnny there, it's an honor and a privilege to serve you in this great country of ours. So thank you very much for that honor. Couple questions. What is your take on the video where the surface looked like surface to air gunfire, the urgency in the witnesses' voices and the sirens going on? That's the one question. And the other question is, what do we know about the company referred to, the U.S. company that was referred to in the hacked radio transmission? I believe they were referred to as the Eagle or something.
Yeah, actually, JT, two great questions. Let's go to the first one. Johnny, the panic that is in, you don't need to speak Portuguese, right, to know right. that there was a lot of fear and panic with the citizens of Magé who were shooting these videos. It was, how do I say that? You can't help but be emotional to hear the panic.
Yeah, and it's not only the panic in those videos, Jimmy, but I have seen some authentic witness videos on there that describe what they saw. And one of the things that I've been trained in, when I've used the clinical hypnotherapy protocols in the past, we use something called NLP, or neuro-linguistic programming, which I know that you and the Coast listeners are well familiar with. And so often border guards and police officers in certain investigations and cases are trained to look for certain eye movements and ways to tell in speech patterns that people are lying. And when I was analyzing the witnesses and I looked at what they were saying, there was no indication that they were lying or disseminating facts that weren't true. In fact, their body language and everything indicated that these were people in shock. They were legitimately shaken up by what they saw. And when you hear those, like you said, Jimmy, even though you heard the Portuguese in the background, that incident scared these people. It wasn't just like the old weather balloon excuse that we can just brush this under the bed. They were in shock from what they heard, what they saw, and it was ongoing.
Now, and the other thing that was so specific was the naming of, and JT didn't get it quite right. I don't want to get into specifics here on Coast to Coast in case we get these facts wrong. But there was an American company that was named, you know, along with the military personnel and the specific branches of the military that were involved. All of these are specifics, including the bases and the timelines and the radar installations. Why isn't the research and in unveiling this easier when we have people, names, places, and companies directly named?
Yeah, well, they have to obscure it. I mean, you have compartmentalization there too within company after company, and these areas that are there, these are very sensitive places. I mean, even earlier when we were talking about Diego Garcia, there's a veil of mystery around that. You know, even what, you know, who's going in there, the politics are there. Diego Garcia, for example, the UN and everybody's trying to push them out of that particular area and trying to say, you don't belong there. And they're saying, we're not budget. So these military installations and groupings, especially, Jimmy, anything that has to do with Space Force seems to be very clandestine right now.
Thank you, JT, and be safe out there on the open road.
Okay, Göbekli Tepe and number 624 to 26, everybody. Thank you very much.
Have a good one, too.
Thank you, JT. It's a great phone call. Let's go to Wild Card Jim up in Canada. Jim, welcome to Coast.
Jimmy, Johnny, what a treat you guys. You're rocking the story tonight. This is excellent. What an honor. I just have a quick question here, you guys. As soon as this story came out on the internet, the mainstream media immediately, within a day, said 20,000 people came down with COVID-19. I think it was in Sao Paulo, maybe just down the road. And I thought, wow, that's a real coincidence. This story comes out that's just huge. The UFO crashes in a neighborhood in Rio, and all of a sudden there's 20,000 people have COVID-19 right in the same area that overshadowed it. I thought, gee, that I don't really think that's a coincidence, no.
Oh, wow. Okay, Jim, I'll let Johnny handle that. And thank you for the phone call. The thing for me, Johnny, is there has been these references when it comes to coronavirus. I don't feel it. I don't see the connection. But Jim brings up a point that nobody can really ignore here.
Yeah, you know, especially with that Sao Paulo area, there's been a military presence there and cleanup, the incidents with blue spheres and strange activity there. But, you know, Jimmy, in Brazil in particular, you know, the case of these outbreaks of pathogens and viruses connected to crashed UFOs have been a thing, especially with that Virginia area where they had the major crash that Dr. Lear talked about. You know, I don't know if we could say the coronavirus came from that particular area, because it seemed to be something that there's a lot of politics and strange things surrounding that in particular. But I wouldn't put it past the idea that that could be one of the reasons for the secrecy with this, because of that concern in Brazil to have cleanup crews and seclusion and getting people out of the areas and closing them down. So I think it's a very good suggestion.
Yeah, and we've all seen the Andromeda strain, too, as well, the original. Let's go to Jackie in Houston, Texas. Jackie, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hello.
What's your... go ahead, Jackie.
Well, I just wanted to make a statement that I think... I do believe that they're extraterrestrials, but I believe that we're not going to see them. They're not going to have a broke leg. We won't see them unless they want us to see them. That's how far advanced they are. So what I think is going on is it's a psyop, just like a whole lot of other things they do, just like they did in Rendlesham Forest. And you notice that the military is always around these incidences. And I also believe that humans are in control of this technology that's causing the psyops, and it could be any government, any corporation, or whoever has the technology. And I know that they have mind-controlled technology, and with that, they can mess with what you believe, mess with what you see, mess with what you don't see. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call, Jackie. And Johnny, when it's fast radio bursts, it's the discovery of exoplanets, it's the search for extraterrestrial life, it's Tic Tac and disclosing of videos. And there seems to be UFO extraterrestrial news every single day. Could this be something that is feeding not only our imagination, but preparing us for something, like quite possibly a psyop to get us ready for something?
You know, Jimmy, many have said that over the years, that these could be psyops for a fake invasion. I tend to think of where a disclosure is headed. I tend to think that we're inevitably going to discover it. You and I have discussed this before, that my theory is we roll out the James Webb telescope. He replaces the Hubble. We got Elon dripping down this new way for us that's going to get better and better for us to go out and explore. And we're going to be like the colonizers out in space. We're going to think we made this great discovery, and we're going to say we're going to go out there and we're going to go reach out and make the contact that way. As for, you know, what's happening with these down crashes and them not being able to have a broken leg, I've had some very serious conversations with people who are very sincere people that have told me that they have been in the presence of extraterrestrials who have been hurt, that they said it was a very moving emotional experience that brought them to tears. It was very shocking. And my explanation for this has always been is that, like we were discussing, Jimmy, with these secret installations, I think since perhaps maybe the days of Eisenhower and other situations, we've had treaties perhaps with certain extraterrestrial groups. Maybe our militaries have. I know when I've sat down and talked to the former Canadian Defense Minister of Canada, the Honorable Paul Hellyer, he tells me we've had ETs working on our military bases with scientists. Charles Hall told me the same thing. He said that we've had exchange programs with them, like what he called the Tall Whites. So is it possible that we have acquired the ability to have certain electromagnetic-based sort of weapons, that we've been able to shoot down certain sorts of crafts that maybe aren't one of the allies sort of thing, and then we can pull them apart from there? Either way, I think we're moving down that path, Jimmy, in the question you asked, and we're going to inevitably see for ourselves soon. Thanks for the question, Jackie.
Yeah, that's a great point. And there's something else before we get to the break that I've often thought about. When the question comes up, you have ET, you know, somebody that is interstellar, traveled these great distances and span time to arrive here on Earth, and suddenly they crash. They can't fly. Well, it's one thing to fly in space or to understand your own atmosphere. We can fly no problem inside of our own atmosphere. We've pretty much gotten it figured out. But we haven't figured out how to land on Mars, right? We still crash things on the moon. We don't understand the atmospheres enough to be able to make this routine. It's always a challenge, and Mars is literally right next door, and we haven't figured that out. So when ET gets here and enters our atmosphere, for them, in most cases, it's something that they are experimenting with too as well, and they don't know about our radar or other EM interference that exists inside of our atmosphere that could interfere in their own flight controls. And that only makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. It most certainly does. I mean, their ways of navigating here, they might be using, you know, as Dr. Paul LaViolette says, you know, these pulsar stars could be like superluminal galactic GPS systems. You know, we're now discovering, Jimmy, that we have these things called megalonic bridges in between, you know, galaxies, and who knows, maybe they have these electromagnetic highways that they get here with, and we don't understand their navigational technology, so they get here, and it's kind of like a Tesla that runs out of juice, just boom.
There you go. Our guest tonight, Johnny Enoch, and we are taking your phone calls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Tonight, we're talking about the Magé, Brazil UFO incident that happened back. We are now almost at June 1st, so I'll say two weeks ago in the middle of May. And our guest tonight is Johnny Enoch, and we're taking your phone calls, and we'll do all of that after this short break. But I want you to check this out. There's a story that just broke. It's about Billy Smith, the second cousin of Elvis Presley. And he claims to have had a visit from the ghost of, wait for it, Elvis. That's right. The incident occurred last month at the home of Smith, and he recounted the tale on his YouTube show, and it's called The Memphis Mafia Kid. And you can read the full story right now over at coasttocoastam.com. Everybody knows about my love for Elvis Presley. So there you go. He's hanging out. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your phone calls with Johnny Enoch when we come back after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, heading into Sunday morning on this Saturday night. Our guest tonight, Johnny Enoch, we're talking about and taking phone calls on the Magé, Brazil UFO incident. And Johnny, I've got a huge rack of calls here that we've got to get through. Are you ready?
I'm ready, Jimmy. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go out east to Glenn in Harlingen, Texas. Glenn, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Thank you, Jimmy. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm good, Glenn. It's nice to hear from you.
Well, I'm rather confused about this. I've heard about the incident, but that's really, I don't know any of the specifics or timelines. And y'all are jumping around a bit too much. But I understand you have a lot of callers. Like, just for instance, radar contact, that could mean 200 miles coming in from over the Atlantic or from 80,000 feet straight down. There's a lot I don't understand about what happened. Could you maybe give me a quick but thorough overview of what has happened from the beginning till we know now?
Well, yes, we can, Glenn, and I'll say this. That's why we try to lay things out the best we could in a linear fashion. The first report came in on April 20th, where military satellites in the United States detected a strong presence of unexplained aerial phenomena. And then the next day on April 21st, the United States Department of Defense, following international protocols determined by NATO, advised the Brazilian Ministry of Defense that something was going on. The next date that we have is May 1st, where the radars of the first integrated air traffic control and air defense center, which is called SINDACTO-1, detected strong activity. And then it moves on to May 12th, where the airspace control detachment of Pico de Cudo down in Brazil detected an increase of activities. And then, which moves on to May 13th, May 14th was the last day of any activity down there when these beings were transported back to U.S. military bases. So that's it in chronological order. And we do have a lot of specific information, including GPS coordinates on two different locations down there. But Glenn, you bring up the best point of all, that it most of the reports were out there pretty actively up until about May 14th and May 15th. At that point, everything started to get removed from the internet. I was looking at videos, as well as Johnny, looking at videos and then going back and seeing them systematically removed. And I couldn't figure out why. And there were a lot of people complaining about it. But once you go and see it for yourself that this stuff is being removed, that's when you have to step back and ask yourself why. That's a great question and a great point, Glenn, and I hope that we clarified all of that for you. Let's go out west to Gary in Salt Lake City, Utah. Gary, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, Gary. What's on your mind?
Hey, not much. I'm just wondering, my outtake on the corona, and I don't think it's the aliens. I think my belief is that it's just the government's getting together, and if you notice, it's taking out the elderly people that would be on Social Security. It's a quick fix to the Social Security income problem that the government's got going on all over the planet. But anyway, my question about UFOs in Brazil is, what is the Brazilians' outtake on it? Because I didn't hear too much about it, but I want to know what the Brazilian armies or armed forces, what's their take on it?
Thank you for the phone call, Gary. Johnny, what have you heard out there directly from the Brazilian military, if anything?
Well, it definitely seems from the reports that we're getting and whatnot in the area that the Brazilian military, as well as police, are deterring people from that area, that they have been involved. They've most certainly been called into here. And, you know, it's interesting, with a combination of this question as well as what we heard from the last caller, Gary brings up a good point, because it's strange, Jimmy, when you were talking about this linear timeline that we read out, we start off from April 20th, right? Mm-hmm. We move forward, we have all these reports. We have, you know, two or three different scenarios there, and they involve different military actions. Could it be that their militaries in that area were working with U.S. military interests or a space force or something on those lines, that they report all of these sightings, they start picking up things in radar, do they bring in advanced weapons, an advanced weapon system in that area that's able to deal with these sort of intrusions into that particular area? And is that why this stops after this particular incident? When we go forward past May 13th, does it actually stop? Or as you just said, Jimmy, did we just, you know, shut off the media after that? Were we able to silence it and it was ongoing after that? So that's the question I would ask. Most certainly, I think it's a cooperation of military forces there.
Yeah, and there is one other interesting part about this is Rio de Janeiro, and their media news services virtually ignored everything going down in Magé. They could see it. You know, Vice and other news outlets in the United States picked up on the story, but virtually quiet in the country of Brazil itself with such a huge story. Very interesting. Let's go to first-time caller, Derek, who is apparently in a supermarket in Massachusetts. Welcome, Derek.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Johnny.
How you doing?
Long time, first time. I'm a really big fan of both of your guys' work.
Thank you.
I've been tracking like synchronicities and weird kind of how this like paranormal and ufology merge with like ritualism and synchronicities. And I just think it's weird that like the dates you mentioned, though, 419, 420 is the day that where a lot of rituals have happened in history. 5-1 is Walt Burgess, and then the 13th, a lot of stuff has been happening on 13th throughout this entire kind of 4-month period here. And just to pick in mage or mage is mage, which is mage magic. So I believe that they actually know where these window areas are, these hot spots, portals are. That's why there's always installations on it, and they track what comes in and out on these synchronistic days. And so like all the burning, all the like the smoke and the loud booms people are hearing sounds very Lovecraftian as much as it does anything else. So perhaps that could even explain why the footage seems so weird, because maybe they want to take people's attention up in the sky when they should be looking at like maybe like a river or something, like some kind of portal area where these things are coming in and out. And what are your guys' thoughts are on that?
Johnny?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for suggesting that. That's very interesting with the connection with Magé and Mage. I like the etymological angle. As far as opening up portals, you know, it is very possible. We have heard of a great connection in ufology. Most certainly go back into the Brill Society and all these places with Maria Orsic and these groups that were using the occult principles to work with ufology. Really quickly, because I know we have other callers, you know, traditionally we go back into Aleister Crowley. He was working with LAM, L-A-M. And if that doesn't look like a gray extraterrestrial that he was in contact with, I don't know what is. But, you know, anything is possible in those areas, that there could be portals and ancient networks that they're opening. So I'd say this, we have to keep our eyes wide open there.
Yeah, and thank you for the phone call, Derek. And I think those are all good points. And another aspect of this, I mean, for me, is while all of these reports were going on with the videos that were posted online, the very next day, and I'm watching the timestamps on this, Johnny, I get a video on my email. Which shows something entering the atmosphere and crashing into the hills right there in Magé.
Wow.
And now what, when we get into coincidences, right, and this all happening at the same time, I didn't know what to make of it. You know, it forced me to go back and really look at what was going on. But what were the odds of something entering the atmosphere? Like, it looked to me like it was a meteor, space debris breaking apart. I don't know what it was, but it definitely crashed into the hills right there behind Magé. It was incredible. So all of this, the timing of it is very strange on, you know, May 13th. Let's go to Wild Card, Wayne, Tacoma, Washington. Wayne, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my call. Brother Jimmy and Johnny, you talked about earlier another incident that happened earlier in South America. I don't know if it was Brazil or some other country there, where the extraterrestrial was apparently injured, and I think a policeman picked him up. I remember reading about this, and I think the policeman actually died from the contact. What other information do you remember about that?
Are you talking about that Virginia case?
No, he's talking about Danion Brinkley.
Well, Danion was the Peru case, but there is the one where the police officer that had picked up the ET out there had gotten very sick. There has been a case like that, too. But you're right, Jimmy. The Danion's case also brings in the injured extraterrestrial. You know, and that brings up a great point. Why Jimmy, and guys, Wayne, when you look at these cases, why might the military get so swiftly involved in sectioning off these areas? If they, you know, obviously they're concerned about certain pathogens and things that come in, and they have a special response protocol for these sorts of things. It might not all be so simple if there's a biological threat at certain times. But again, for some reason, that seems to be a pattern with the type of ETs coming out into Brazil and in South America. There seems to be that concern.
Yeah, and the Virginia case is pretty well documented in how the military came in. I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I think they actually went and filmed and videoed for a couple of months and set up camp in town after all of the reports were coming in from everybody there. And Wayne, you can go and look that up and research it. It's a fascinating case, and I want to thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Billy in Peoria, Illinois. Billy, you're up next on Coast.
Jimmy?
Yes, Billy.
It's always great to listen to you on WMBD, Peoria, Illinois.
Right on.
And Johnny, man, what a great show tonight. And I've always thought building up, even during the coronavirus, it seemed like that all the UFO videos and stuff on YouTube, now it's all being censored or whatnot.
Yes.
And then this thing that happened in Brazil, and then it got squashed all of a sudden over this.
That's exactly it. And by the way, thanks for the kind words, Billy. And, you know, that's the biggest factor with this case that we can't ignore. I don't care if people out there have been skeptics that say, they go, hey, you know, there's so many other different video clips now coming out that are being disseminated, so many different stories that are mixed matching. We know that the original post, the original Reddit, the original tweets, the original videos coming out, those all just get sanitized and whitewashed away. Some people were reposting them and putting them out there, but immediately we saw just lesser quality information, lesser quality videos pulled up, you know, just be pushed out there as a cover story. And there's just too much there to ignore. And that is a big red flag when we start seeing it being censored.
Yeah. And thank you for the phone call, Billy. But it is one of the best points of all is, and I try to make everybody aware of this, it's not just Maje, and you brought up the Pentagon story and the release of those videos, but it's all of the headlines going back to, like, coronavirus, which just last week, it was the biggest story of this century, right? The entire planet, and it has been buried. It is fascinating how the media has been able to manage the headlines and what they choose to be out there or not. It's fascinating, and we're watching it go down in real time. Let's go to Rich, right here on the West Coast in San Francisco. Rich, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hello, yeah. What about these Nazis that have been hiding out in Argentina, Chile, and there's a Nazi base that's hiding out in the Antarctic? So it's nearby over there. What do you think might be the connection there? Because I know Michael Sala speaks of there being a base there, and also a guy by the name of Len Kasten and another guy named Dave Emery. They all believe for sure there is a Nazi base hiding out in the Antarctic. What do you think?
Well, Rich, this has been covered a lot over the years. Argentina and that technology being developed in World War II, I'm not sure if there's a connection with this in Maje, Brazil, though. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, absolutely. You get new Schwabland over in Antarctica, you know, the South America having this interest of Nazis and Germans. But there have been Germans, not just the Portuguese population over in Brazil. I think overall there have been interests from them for a long time over in Brazil and South America and all those areas because of the extraterrestrials. And let's face it, Jimmy, and why would extraterrestrials want to come to these areas? Well, we know that in the rainforest, there's so many diverse plants. There's a very interesting climate, in some cases, strange elevations, humidity. So there's a number of reasons why they would want to come there.
Yeah, no, anything is possible. And I was watching, there is a new movie that just came out on Amazon last night. Oh, the name escapes me. Michael, can you look up the UFO movie that came out on Amazon last night? I don't know. Gina, did you see it? The new... And it takes place in the late 1950s. But the point that I think is so important here is that the, how do I say this? That this has been out there for a long time, and the knowledge of it has been out there for a long time. Can we draw the lines and make connections to all of this? I'm not so sure. Check out the movie that just came out on Netflix or Amazon. Do you have it? Oh, man, it was just right in front of me, too. It was being discussed over there on Twitter. But there you go. And thank you, Rich, for the phone call. Let's go to, do we have time? No, we don't. Johnny, thank you so much for this conversation tonight. And the story going on down there in Maje, Brazil, is only going to get more interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on, Jimmy, and thanks to all the Coast listeners. And I just think in the coming weeks and months that we will eventually find out the truth about this case. And when we do, I believe it will be a lot more shocking than people think.
Johnny Enoch. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us.